the universe as a consciousness computer. In the 1940s, the man credited with developing the first computers, Konrad Zuse, had a flash of insight into the way the universe may work. When he did, he also gave us a new way of thinking about who we are and our role in creation. While he was developing the simple programs that would eventually run the first early computers, he asked a question that sounds more like the plot of a novel than something meant as serious scientific possibility. Zeus's question was simply this: is it possible that the entire universe operates just like the computer that he was building, only on a larger scale? And if so, is it also possible that just like the smaller computers have a code that runs them, the universe uses a code that makes whatever is possible, possible? Or perhaps even more bizarre, he wondered if the world around us that we see as reality is actually the output of a cosmic computer, one that is ancient and mysteriously holding the stuff of creation in place as an artificial, or what we now call a virtual, reality. In other words, are we living a virtual reality running on a computer based in quantum energy itself? This is clearly a huge question, with implications that rattle everything from the ideas of life, evolution, and religion to the nature of God's existence. It's also precisely the same idea that spawned the hugely popular 1999 science fiction classic, The Matrix. These are big concepts, and Zuse was obviously a man way ahead of his time. 30 years after he first asked the questions, he elaborated on these ideas in his book simply titled Calculating Space, and set into motion the events that have led to the current revolution in our ways of thinking of reality in everyday life. The bottom line to this way of seeing the universe is that whether we're talking about rocks and trees or the ocean, you and me, everything is information and energy. And just as information and energy can be the output of a computer program, the universe is really the output of a very big program that began long, long ago. While the who and the why of such a program are certainly key, Zuse was asking just how something like this could even be possible. And although he was asking the right questions, the technology to test his ideas was simply not available in the mid-20th century. Today, it is. In recent years, new discoveries have directed scientists right back to Zeus's original questions. Picking up where he left off, a growing number of mainstream researchers are now thinking along the same lines, and they're asking the same question: are we living in a simulation, a virtual reality program based upon an ancient code? If so, then the universe and everything in the universe is what and where it is because something in the program put it there. And that would mean that we're living in a reality where everything is based upon that code and can be changed. To anchor such a powerful possibility, belief code number 6 states that just as we can run a simulated program that looks and feels real, studies suggest that the universe itself may be the output of a huge and ancient simulation, a computer program that began long ago. And if so, then to know the program's code is to know the rules of reality itself. As a scientist, when I began to consider Zeus's ideas and think of our world as a simulation, with belief as the program that changes things, the first question that came to my mind was why? What would be the purpose? What end could possibly justify the effort required to create a test world the size of the whole universe? Well, to answer my own question, the first thing I did was to look up the terms simulation and virtual reality themselves to know what they really mean. Well, through their definitions, I found myself one step closer to answering my question. A virtual reality, I found, is defined as a computer simulation that enables a user to perform operations and see the effects in real time. While this definition is interesting, when I combined it with the description of a simulation, I found that it offers the modern language and a context for the religious traditions of our past. The definition of a simulation is brief, yet it's powerful. It's described as the imitation or representation of a potential situation, sounding eerily similar to what we're told about our experience here on earth and what it means to heaven. When we put these ideas together and consider them within the context of our deepest beliefs and most cherished spiritual traditions, the implications become dizzying. They describe in modern terms that we're living in a temporary world, an artificial reality that allows us to learn a new way of being here before we get to the real place where that's the way things really work. And that's precisely what a simulation does. It allows us to experience a new environment, like the controls of a jet plane, the surface of the moon, or how to speak the language of our heart to live in heaven, and to master our skills before we actually have to use what we've learned. In other words, we get to try new things and find out what works and what doesn't in a relatively safe environment before we get to the real place where our skills are a matter of survival. And maybe that's the best way to think of what's happening in our world today. We're being given greater opportunities under more extreme conditions with more powerful consequences so we can find out which of our beliefs work and which ones don't. And the intensity with which the opportunities seem to be coming our way suggests that it's important that we learn what works soon before we find ourselves in a place where such skills are a must. Well, at first blush, we find our minds reeling from the magnitude of what such a possibility implies. Then we find ourselves taking a closer look, a deeper breath, sitting back in our chairs and saying, this actually makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. This may just be the way things really work. The reason is because the comparison between the stuff that our everyday world is made of and the stuff of a computer's world works so well. Let's take a closer look. On and off, the polarities of the universe. No matter how large or how small, how simple or how sophisticated the computer appears to be, each one has a language that it uses to get things done. In our familiar desktop or laptop computer, that language is a code based on patterns of numbers made of ones and zeros that represent on and off, here, not here, the shorthand for the very polarities that make the universe what it is. But don't think that ones and zeros don't hold much power just because they're based in a simple idea. On the contrary, binary language may be the most powerful language in the universe. It represents the way things seem to be. They either are or they aren't. This language is universal. As amazing as it sounds, from the computers that guide our astronauts to the moon, to the computer in your car that tells you when it's time to change your oil, they're all based on a code that's made of different combinations of ones and zeros. The code of the universe appears to be just that simple. Rather than the smallest units being made of ones and zeros, however, the smallest units of creation appear to be the atoms everything is made of. The atoms of our reality are the equivalent of the ones and the zeros in the computer. They're expressed as polarities. They either exist or they don't. They're either on or they're off. This simple principle is summarized as our seventh belief code. When we think of the universe as a program, atoms represent ones and zeros that work just the way the familiar language of a computer works. The codes are either on as physical matter or off as invisible waves. Things are either here or they're not here. So now that we've opened the door to such a powerful possibility, let's continue with this line of thinking and take our possibilities yet one step further. From this perspective, do we have access to the code that makes all things possible? Can we upgrade the program of life, healing, peace, and everyday reality just the way we upgrade the code of our internet connection or our word processor? At the very least, such a possibility is intriguing. In this way of thinking, for example, miracles are simply belief programs that bypass the limits of science and the unfortunate accidents and bizarre occurrences that seem to just happen sometimes are really due to occasional glitches in the computer's program. Invariably, these questions open the door to even deeper questions, and with them, the mysteries that may not be answered anytime soon. A new branch of study, however, may hold the clue to solving some of these mysteries, and it may all be much simpler than we ever dreamed possible.